Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think everybody's heard the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the angel Jibra'il actually was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam almost towards the end of his time in this world. And he was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask certain questions about Islam in front of the Sahaba, about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan in front of the Sahaba so that the Sahaba could learn about these three concepts. And when asked about Ihsan, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him. And if you can't see Him, then know that verily He sees you. Now, when you actually are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highest level is that you imagine that you're seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's the highest. Now, you can't see Allah with your eyes, obviously. In this world, you cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your eyes. On the day of judgment, and after the judgment has been passed, one of the greatest rewards for the people who believed is that they'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the eyes given to them in the hereafter, and they'll look at the sky, or they'll look towards Allah, and it'll be as if they're looking at a full moon. So they'll see Him like you see the moon in this world. So that's one of the blessings that's bestowed upon the believers on the day of judgment and in the hereafter. And that's because they'll be given special eyes, not these sort of eyes that we have, but they'll be able to do idraq, they'll be able to take in the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this world, what the Prophet is commanding here is that you imagine that you're seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you can't see Him, then you at least imagine that He's seeing you. So obviously He always sees you. Whether you imagine this or not, He always sees you. Allah is always watching us. It's not that our imagining it makes it any more real. The reality is that Allah watches you at every single moment. Every single moment. But our job is to imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Or that we're watching, that we actually are seeing Him when we do our ibadah. So this idea, this whole idea of imagining that this is occurring, is actually something called muraqabah. Muraqabah. So you should know this term. So muraqabah comes from ra, qaf, and ba. And raqaba yuraqibu is verb form 3. So many of you are studying sarf, you've gotten to verb form 3. Verb form 3 is raqaba yuraqibu, and the mustar is muraqabatan. So this is this term muraqaba. What this term muraqaba means is that you imagine certain states. One of them is you imagine أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراه. That you worship Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you're looking at Him. Imagining that you are standing and worshiping right before the Creator of the universe. And if you can't do that, then you at least imagine that He's watching you. Now He is watching you, but your job is to imagine that He's watching you, to refresh your memory that He's watching you. So there's so many different kinds of muraqabat that the different mashayikh talk about. For example, one of the muraqabas is to sit down and to just imagine, like we just talked about this hadith, that you're looking at Allah, that you're standing before Allah, and that you have to present yourself before Allah. That you have to present yourself as you are, with all your deficiencies, and all your sins, and all your errors, and you have to stand before the Creator of the universe, and explain why you did what you did with your time. So that's a type of muraqabah. Another muraqabah is that you sit and imagine that you're lying in your grave. And you're lying in your grave, and all the punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows on people in their grave, that those, you're thinking about those punishments, and you know that each of those punishments has a cause. For example, if you didn't pray, then this happens. If you lied, then this happens. If you cheated, then this happens. So you imagine yourself in your grave, and you imagine that these things are befalling you, and you do this to help you avoid those things in this life. Similarly, there can be a muraqabah, you imagine that it's the day of judgment. Everybody is in utter chaos. People are fighting with one another, people are yelling at one another, people are screaming at one another, people are running in every which direction. There's no guidance, there's no shade, there's no help on that day, except the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you imagine yourself on that day, and you imagine where you are now, and how you'll be able to stand on that day. So that's a type of muraqabah. Similarly, another type of muraqabah is that you're standing and you're sitting, and you're just quietly thinking, and you're reflecting on the Day of Judgment, when all the Sahaba and all of the righteous people will come to the drinking well that the Prophet ﷺ will give water from, the Hawd al-Kawthar. And the Prophet ﷺ will be handing out water with his own hands to the people of his ummah. So you imagine that the Sahaba are there, and then the other righteous people are there, and you imagine where you stand in that group, and whether you'll even be there or not. So that's another type of muraqabah. So muraqabah basically means that you watch over yourself. You reflect upon yourself, upon the upcoming events or different situations that exist within your life in order to bring yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, of all of these different muraqabat, all of these muraqabat are actually beneficial in developing your relationship with Allah. And it's the responsibility of each of us to sit down for a portion of the day or on a regular basis and to reflect upon ourselves. This is our responsibility. The Prophet ﷺ said, Hasibu qabla an tuhasab, that take account of yourselves before account is taken of you. Meaning sit down and reflect on yourself. Ask yourself, where am I? How am I going to stand before, how am I going to sit in my grave and bear the punishments of the grave when this life is 50 years and the life of the grave will be thousands of years perhaps? How will I stand and bear the reckoning on the Day of Judgment when that Day of Judgment will last 70,000 years and it will be so chaotic and there will be pictures of hell in front of me and there will be pictures of Jannah in front of me and I'll be worrying and I'll be drenched in sweat wondering which place I'm going to go to. Now imagine, in this world, if there's some big event, if you're waiting for the result of a big exam, you're worried. Did I fail? Did I pass? You're wondering every single day. In fact, sometimes it gets to the level, and when I used to be in college and we used to be studying for exams, if the exam would be 2 or 3 days delayed, meaning the result of the exam would be 2 or 3 days delayed, people would begin to say, you know what? I don't even care what the result of the exam is. I just want to know what I got. I'm so sick of trying to figure out what I got and thinking about it. I don't even care if I passed or failed, or if I got an A or if I got a B. I just want the answer. That's what people used to say, especially at the final exam. They used to say, you know what? I can't wait anymore. I'm so sick of waiting that I just want the answer. I don't care if I passed or if I failed. It gets to that point. Now imagine on the Day of Judgment, when for 70,000 years people will be waiting and the picture of hell will be before them and the picture of heaven will be before them and they'll be wondering. They'll start reflecting on their bad deeds and they'll say, there's no way I'm going to get into Jannah. There's no way. Look at all the bad things I did. And then for a second they'll start reflecting on Allah's mercy and they'll start reflecting on the couple of good deeds that they did. And they'll say, well, there's no way Allah will put me in the hellfire. He's too merciful. And I did one or two decent things. And you'll be caught between this confusion and you'll be running from place to place to place and you'll have no shade and no shelter. So if you don't imagine today that those things will happen, then what will happen on the day when it really comes? You have to begin to reflect upon these different levels that are different parts of our life. So the person who plans for his late retirement, then he has a successful retirement. Well, we don't retire, we move on to the next life. And the next life is the grave. And after that, we move on to the life of the judgment. And after that, we move on to the life of the hereafter. So we are just travelers at a bus stop. This is just a bus stop. We all happen to be at the same bus stop. And all of our bus is coming. Now your bus might leave in 50 years. My bus might leave in 20 years. It's all the same bus. It's just one person's going a few hours earlier than the other in the reality of time. So this is just a bus stop and we are all together to remind each other that we are going to a final destination. And the people who prepare themselves for this final destination, they'll take benefit in the end. And the people who waste their time at the bus stop and don't use this time wisely, when they get to their destination, they'll have no idea what's going on. So it's our job to take a period of time every day, every week, every month, and to sit down and reflect upon our states. What will it be when we're in the grave? What will it be like for us based on our deeds and the hereafter? What will it be like when we stand in front of the Prophet ﷺ and we have to say, Ya Rasulullah, I knew about you, I knew about your Sahaba, I heard your hadith, I read the book that you brought from Allah, and this is what I did with it, and you have to present yourself before him and stand before him and ask him to make intercession for you. What will it be when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, Ya Allah, I know you created the whole world. I knew that everything that you established, The goals that I had established, I knew all of them were complete illusions. I knew that my attaining the X degree and purchasing X car and buying X house, all of that, I knew that was an illusion. I knew there was no reality. I knew I was going to die and leave every one of those things behind, and I knew that the Akhirah was the final abode. I knew it. But I still did A, B, and C, and I still left what you told me to do, and you'll have no excuse. So these are all realities. These are not stories. We're not making it up. It's not a pretend. It's reality. The biggest story is actually what's happening in this world. The realities of the realities is coming up in the next lives. So we have to begin to reflect on where we are, where we want to be, where we're going, and what we've done. And this is what's called muraqabah. Now, different people, there are specific ways to do muraqabah, and there's general ways to do muraqabah. So generally, it's just to just sit and reflect on yourself. And specifically, people who are doing lessons in muraqabah, they know that there's X muraqabah, then Y muraqabah, then Z muraqabah, and they go through those lessons and they use them as a means of training their own soul. But this is what muraqabah means. To watch over yourself. Raqabah yuraqibu, to watch over, to guard over, to stand over as a guard. So you stand over your deeds and guard them and watch over them and wonder what the result will be. You stand over your soul and guard over it and ask questions about it and wonder where it will end up. You stand over your heart and ask it, where do I stand? Where am I? Where do I want to be? Am I truly connected to Allah, or am I truly connected to the dunya and the things that will never last? So that's the concept of muraqabah. So sometimes people ask me, well, what does muraqabah mean? What exactly is muraqabah? I think you should have this background, that this is what the definition of a muraqabah is, and this is the responsibility of every single person, that they sit down and that they reflect honestly about themselves. Now, whether you do it in a general way and you just randomly do it, that's fine. Whether you do it in a specific way and you sit down and you have a set of lessons and you're assigned them, that's fine too. But the point is that everybody has to do it. And you have to be honest with yourself. Now, we do it. We do it for the dunya all the time. You know, when you go to an interview, I mean, I've been in so many different interviews, the question I always get asked is, where do you imagine yourself 20 years from now? So when I went to my medical school interviews, the question I got asked in every single interview is, where do you imagine yourself 20 years from now? Meaning, do muraqabah on yourself, in your career, in your dunya, and tell us, based on your interests and based on your hard work, where will you be 20 years from now? That's essentially the question if you want to look at it another way. And you get that question over and over and over again. Why? Because they want to see how serious you are. How do you reflect on yourself? How do you try to improve yourself? How will you work towards your goals in the dunya? It's the exact same thing in the akhirah. Reflect. Ask yourself, where will I be in the grave? What will my situation be on the Day of Judgment when I have to present all of my deeds? When I have to show Allah that I did this for this reason, I did that for that reason. And where will my situation be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the truth and all the information before Him and decides to divide His people into half? And some will be placed in one, in the fire, and some will be placed in Jannah. So we should reflect on these things. These are the realities of the world. These are the truths of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to reflect on our lives, to improve ourselves, and to attain the highest maqam in the akhirah.